Hey, so what's this new series that we're talking about? There you go. Taboo, yes. So what's Taboo about? Can anybody tell me? Yeah, but what about it? Like, what are we aiming to do about all these things? True. You got it? It's on the tip of your tongue. Anybody? Okay. Okay. That's fine. Love. Yes. That's okay. You're right, though. Porn does kill love, and we're going to get into that. But so Taboo, guys, is all about unveiling and exposing the intimate areas of sex, pornography, human trafficking, transgenderism, LGBT, homosexuality. We're gonna kind of focus on a topic each week for the next several weeks. And while we're unveiling these things and kind of exposing them and talking about them in a biblical manner, it's our hope that you would be convicted in a good way. Because there is good conviction. There's also the I'm just going to go die conviction because I suck at life. But our hope is that you would be convicted, encouraged, and moved a little bit out of your comfort zone, because this isn't normally a topic that you hear pastors talk about right at the front of the pulpit. You know, and really not a lot of youth groups talk about it either. But Joe and I understand and know that these are areas that you guys struggle with. Even if you don't think that you struggle with them, these are things that come up in life all the time. So a place where we want you guys to get to is a place where you can honestly take a look at your life in this area and align it with what God wants. Yes, Trey. Yeah, sure. Totally fine. I'm still going to go, though. So I'm going to keep going. So, yeah, you're fine. So, and we also know that in these areas like sex, just this very intimate area of our lives, it's hard for us to stay aligned, right? Because we've got all these different things, culture, people, friends, peer pressure, things telling us that it's okay to experiment. It's okay to just do it once. It's okay. You know, you'll be fine. You'll be able to get over it. It's okay to engage in premarital sex. It's okay to make pornography your go-to when you're feeling worthless. Well, I want to encourage you that Joe and I and Chris and God, we think that there's more for your life than that, than these things. And actually, the Lord says it in Jeremiah 29:11. Who knows it? Repeat it or say it with me. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Yes. This is what the Lord has for each and every one of you sitting in here tonight. A future, a hope. But tonight we're gonna dig into pornography as an industry, on a personal level. And I'm going to expose the darkness behind it, because it is truly a dark industry. It's a dark sin. Jesus says that in Jeremiah 29:11, I'm going to give you a hope and a future. With porn, guys, with pornography, the industry in itself, there's no hope. There's no future. With porn, there's just this hopelessness about it. The people who are involved in it, the people who are addicted to it. And I want to get real tonight. I'm coming from a place of where I used to be addicted to pornography. So understand that that's very vulnerable for me to share that with you guys. It's a vulnerable place for me to go, but I think it's important, because sometimes you can look at leaders, you can look at pastors, you can look at people who have authority in your life, and you can say, oh my gosh, I'm never going to get to where they are. They're just too crazy for Jesus. I cannot get there. They're too radical. They're perfect. But I want to tell you that I'm not perfect. Joe's not perfect. And Chris isn't perfect. We've all had struggles. And so that's why I'm so compelled to talk about these subjects, because I'm passionate about it, because I know what it feels like to be freed from it. I understand what it feels like to have chains taken off of me. I understand and I know how that feels, and I want that for each and every one of you. And I'm not going to just assume that all of you are rotten, dirty sinners either. I understand that there are people in here who may have never struggled with it and never are going to, but we still have to expose it, because you put yourself in danger every day when you go into school. When your walls are, when you're not covering yourself with the Lord and his hope and his future for you, then you know, we put ourselves in danger every time we go out into the world of being exposed. So it's important to understand that pornography has been around for a while. Lateef said that there are 400 pornography films made and put on DVD each week in the United States, like put to be on sale. So it's nothing new. It's been around. It's been around for ages. It dates all the way back to when people used to draw women on rocks with paint, with animal blood, but that was their paint back then. So it's nothing new. But like I said, the church has done a really good job of just shoving this area underneath the rug, never talking about it. Oh, you know, that's just separate. We're not going to talk about it because it's something that, you know, everybody deals with, but, you know, it's a personal thing. You know, you're not supposed to, you know, talk about what you struggle with. Well, I think that's crap. Because if we don't talk about it, then people still struggle. If we don't talk about it in here, you guys still struggle. You're not sure where to go, what direction to go in if we don't talk about it, if we're not open about it. Recently, however, even though the church has done kind of a bad job in the past, recently, like within like the last 5 or 10 years, the church has been, like, there's been a shift, there's been a movement in this philosophy about exposing pornography. There are even active Christian groups out there that are involved with the porn industry, and like not involved like doing it, but they're showing the love of Christ. Because no matter what, the people who are involved in it, who are participating in it, we may think, oh, that is just disgusting. I would never go there. Those people are gross. But at the end of the day, we have to remember that those people are someone's daughter. That person is someone's son. That's someone's kid. And we also have to remember that Jesus came and died for them too, right? It's not just for us who are saved. It's for, like, the filthy, rotten sinners out there, too. Has anyone ever heard of the Triple X Church? Okay. Well, it's a church, and their sole mission, they've been around for maybe a few years, maybe 5 or 6 years. Their sole mission is to eradicate the pornography industry and to redeem those who are involved in it. This group will send out individuals, a part of the church, that will go to porn conventions, places of utter darkness, and they will spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can imagine what kind of person it takes to do that, to be in the middle of darkness around a lot of nudity, around porn being made right in front of them, and yet they're sitting there handing out tracts. They're sitting there praying for people. One of the biggest, highest grossing porn stars, her name is Jenna, she was redeemed by this group. They approached her several times over the years. She was involved in porn for 7 years, and she was the highest paid adult film star in the pornography industry. And this group, through going to these pornography conventions, they kept approaching her, kept praying for her, kept after her, kept pursuing after her. And finally, she gave in. She said, all right, I'm done with this. She had been hospitalized for injuries due to being in films. She had been raped several times. And at the end, I was watching a video on it, and she said, you know, at the end of it all, I just felt worthless. I felt like I couldn't, who wants to marry a person like me? Who wants to have kids? Who wants to have a family with a person like me? And she knew that there was more for her life than pornography, being in that industry. remember last week when I was talking about sexual sin, and I was saying that it's difficult to get rid of because it's sticky. Like, it just feels like, do you guys remember that? It just feels like honey, or just like, just feels like you're just gross. Well, I was reading in 1 Corinthians this week, and I found the verse that I wanted to share with you guys last week, but I just couldn't think of it. But I want to go to it. And if somebody could bring up 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20 and read it for me, that would be awesome. Chapter 6, 18 through 20. It should be highlighted. If you own a Bible or if you have a phone that you can put that verse on, I think that is probably one of the key verses in the Bible for today's teenagers. So this sin of sexual immorality, it's different. It's different than any other sin. It's different than stealing. It's different than murder. It's different because it's a sin committed against your own body. See, most of us in here, you know, we've said the sinner's prayer. We've asked Jesus into our hearts, right? So, you know, we were saved. I can assume that about the people in this room. So when you said the sinner's prayer, what did you ask Jesus? When you to come into your heart, exactly. So you invited the Holy Spirit to come live inside of you. Those aren't just like whimsical words that we just say, like arbitrarily, Jesus. It may feel like that at first. It may feel like, Jesus, come into my heart. I'm not really even sure what that means. But what you're doing when you're saying that is that you're opening yourself up to whatever God wants to do. You're asking him to come dwell inside of you so that when you make decisions, it's not just you making decisions anymore. It's you and Jesus. It's you and the Holy Spirit. When you live life, it's not just you by yourself. It's you and Jesus because you've asked him to come inside. Those aren't just made up words. When you say that, when you said the sinner's prayer, when you said that prayer of salvation, if you meant it, then he lives inside of you. When you asked him to come in, he did. And so when you engage in things like pornography, sex outside of marriage, sexual sin in general, you are not only harming yourself, but you are directly defiling the place where Jesus lives. Does that make sense? So it's like someone, a stranger, coming into your house and trashing it for no good reason, just trashing it, and then you having to pick up the mess. It'd be like me telling Latif to go over Devin's house and trash it. That's what it means to engage in pornography when you've got Jesus living inside of you, because you're inviting the enemy into your heart, and you're allowing him to defile the place where you've asked God to come in. So that's why it's so sticky. But I want to encourage you guys that there's hope. There's hope. If you've struggled with this, and remember, this is coming from a real place, because I've been there. If you struggle with this, I want you guys to know that there's hope. But we kind of touched on this last year a little bit. Recent studies on pornography, so they've been studying pornography and the effects it has on the brain and how it works when you watch it, what happens to your brain, what happens. So they found that the high, because you get chemicals are released out of your brain when you watch pornography. And the high that you get when those chemicals release, it's similar to the high that you get after taking drugs, after smoking marijuana, after shooting up heroin, it's similar. It's very similar. It's the same type. This video kind of explains it in detail. Praise God, I'm not anymore, but I was. And so that just because it's labeled a man's sin. I hate that it's labeled that, because when I was addicted, I felt like I couldn't talk about it because it was a guy's sin. And so I felt weird because I was like, why am I dealing with this? Why me? And so that's why I hid it for so long. But ladies, our engagement in pornography, it might look a little different sometimes. There's a trend with our phones and how accessible things are, and apps like Snapchat and other things. where it's so easy to send and receive nude photos. It's so easy. And just spoiler alert, sending nude pictures and receiving nude pictures is a gateway pornography. It's gateway pornography. And you might say, wait, hold on, Jada. Wait. It's okay because unlike pornography, when I'm watching it, I don't know any of those people, but you know, my friend, she sends me a nude picture, or my friend, he sends me a nude picture. It's okay because, and it's not pornography because I know that person. So that's different. Well, that's a false justification because Matthew 5:28 says that if anyone looks at a woman, and I'm going to add a man. So if anyone looks at a woman or a man with lustful intent, he has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So the Bible doesn't say anyone that looks at a woman who he doesn't know on the internet commits adultery with her in his heart. No. Anyone who looks at a woman anywhere and has lustful intent for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And this verse is, so you may think, okay, adultery. Well, I'm not married. just because I look at those things, it don't mean anything because I'm not married. So that means that I haven't committed adultery. Well, even if you're not married, every decision that you make affects your future spouse. It is my hope and my dream to be at every single one of your weddings one day. I want to be there. Yes, it's going to be cool. I just imagine it, and it's going to be awesome. Joe and I are going to have kids by then, hopefully. And yes, it's going to be awesome. And I'm excited to think that all of you will be able to enjoy marriage one day. Joe and I are both pornography survivors. I say survivors because it's so addictive that it can lead to death. It's like a cancer. And it wraps itself around you and around your heart, and it's really hard to get away from. And so that's why I'm saying we are pornography survivors. I can't tell you how bad I wish I would have waited for Joe. I remember when I first told him that I had lost my virginity at 13. And I remember when I had told him that wasn't the only time, that it was like over a 7-year, 8-year span that I had been with so many different people. That hurt. It hurt him. It hurt me because it hurt him. And so that's why I say that every decision you make now, guys, it affects your future spouse. It is my hope that you will stay pure. Guys, do your future spouse a favor and wait for them. They deserve that. Your future spouse deserves you to wait. There's nothing more fulfilling than being married and having that intimate relationship. Everything outside of it is not permanent. I'll get into that in a little bit. But when we engage in pornography of any kind, we are allowing it to feed and nurture our heart. There was a longing inside of me to be loved, and I was trying to receive it from pornography. But really, I wasn't receiving that love. I was just diminishing my soul. It felt like I was being loved because I was getting that high. And by the way, my addiction to pornography began when I didn't have, basically I'd been through all these relationships, and then finally it all came to an end. And I didn't have anything, you know, I didn't have anything nurturing me, giving me that love that I needed. So I turned to pornography because I was looking for everything outside of God to fulfill my needs. But really, like I said, I was diminishing my soul, and I didn't even know it. I didn't even realize it. I felt dirty after doing it, but the more I did it, I felt less and less dirty, less and less convicted. And that's why it's so dangerous. You can get to a point, and some of you might be here tonight, where you've done it so many times, or you've been involved with it for so many times, that it doesn't even feel wrong anymore. It feels good, actually. It feels great. God wants more for you. God wants more for your heart. He wants more for your life. He has a plan and a future for all of you. God designed us to be in covenant, in a covenant physical relationship with our future spouse. This covenant, it doesn't just begin when you're married. It's not like, all right, great, you know, I'm in covenant now that I'm married, great, with my spouse. That kind of covenant, guys, it begins now in your relationship with Jesus. How can we expect to be intimate with our spouse, to be real with our spouse, to be honest with our spouse, if we can't even be honest with Jesus right now? We can't even be intimate with Jesus right now. How do we expect to be intimate with our future spouse? When we step out of covenant, when we step out of the boundaries God has laid for us, we are saying no to the gifts he wants to give us, the future he wants for us. See, like I was saying before, since I'm in covenant with Joe, since we have that bond, I don't have to worry about him cheating on me. I don't have to worry about him giving me a disease. I don't have to worry about him getting me pregnant and abandoning me. I don't have to worry about him forcing me to do things that I don't want to do. We're in covenant, meaning there's a safety, there's an intimacy, there's a bond that God designed for us that we're living in, and it cannot be broken. Now, I'm saying that prophetically, because in Jesus' name, nothing will separate us at all. I mean, Satan can try all he wants, but he's going to fail because we're in covenant, and we adhere to that. Not everybody does. Some marriages fall apart because of pornography. I have a friend right now who's going through a divorce because of pornography. She doesn't go here, but she's a different friend. But pornography kills love. It destroys marriages. And by God, it will not destroy mine. And prophetically, it will not destroy any of your lives or your future marriages. In Jesus' name. I'm gonna dispel some mindsets tonight, because like I said, I was addicted to pornography. I've said that enough. I don't know how more I can say it, but my number one fear when I was addicted was to be exposed. See, there's a self-centered demand inside of us that comes from our flesh that wants our needs fulfilled by everything other than God, something that we're born with. It's called our flesh. And we've been tricked by the enemy and by them out there, the culture, the media, your friends who are not saved, sometimes even your parents and family members, we've been tricked by the enemy through them and maybe even through just the enemy, that if we're to expose, if we were to come out clean, then God will shame us, that there will be just all the shame around us. Some of you have kept things from, I don't know, I'll just say it. Some of you have kept things from us and maybe from other people because you felt like we were going to shame you, or we would be disappointed in you, or we were just going to quit being, you know, your friend, or quit being your youth pastor. That is not true. We think that if we're exposed, then we'll be left bleeding, abandoned, and no one will understand. These are all lies that we've heard. I've been there. And I've had all those false views, and I can tell you that God does not look on you with shame. He's not in the business of shaming or condemning. He's in the business of redemption, of salvation. It doesn't matter how many times you've run into this sin. It doesn't matter. There's no red tape saying, okay, you've had your enough. You know, you can't come to me anymore. There's no red tape between you and God in this area. No matter how many times you've hit the wall, the Lord still wants to show mercy on you. He looks at us with just this longing to heal our hearts. He wants to rectify your past and eradicate you from sin. The world likes to convince us that it's okay to struggle with sexual sin. And they even like glorify it with these movies like 50 Shades of Crap. I mean Gray. No, actually, I just mean crap. It is an understatement to say that movie has done well in the world. It has topped all charts. And there are Christians out there that revel in it, that have went to go watch it, but yet they go to church on Sunday and praise the Lord. There's a problem with that. We're too accepting of sexual sin. There's got to be a point in your life, guys, where there's a line in the sand where we've drawn the line and no more. Or else you're just going to struggle your whole life. This movie, 50 Shades or whatever, it's the opposite of what the Lord says that love is. What does the Bible say? Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. And it is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always preserves. That is the complete opposite of what Hollywood just threw on us. It's also the complete opposite of what your friends, what the media, what culture is telling you that is acceptable. See, they'll try to convince you that you can try it 14 different ways with 25 different people. But every time you do this, every time you engage in things like pornography and give in to sending nude pictures and receiving them, looking at things, every time you do this, you fail. Every time you step out of covenant, you will fail. You'll end up somewhere where you never intended to be. If I would have stayed on the road that I was in, I wouldn't be here tonight. I'd be probably on drugs, living at home with like 3 or 4 kids. There was a time in my life where I should have been pregnant, but I wasn't, by the grace of God. Because he had a plan for me. He wanted me to meet Joe. He wanted me to be your youth pastor. Yeah. Thank you. Every time we step out of covenant, we'll end up somewhere where we're not supposed to be. Many of you have friends who are doing this right now. They're in homosexual relationships. They end up with an STD. They're pregnant and abandoned by the baby's father. They're divorced. They're damaged. They're broken. They come to you and they're like, I can't believe that he left me after I gave him everything. I can't believe she just did that to me. These are all consequences of sexual sin. And none of you are an exception to the rule. If you think that you can just keep on going in the same direction that you're going in and never suffer a consequence, just wait. It'll happen. Unless you pivot tonight. Unless you decide to draw that line in the sand and say once and for all, I'm ready to serve you, God. I'm ready to serve you with my whole life. Because it is quite possible to act the Christian part for so long without actually being a Jesus follower.